This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Four Iraqi policemen were injured when a car bomb went off outside a police station in Baghdad Monday, the U.S. military and Iraqi police said. The attack occurred just after 8 a.m. when a suicide bomber drove his car into the gate of a police station in the capital's Amariya district, said Captain Brad Loudon. Witnesses said the building houses the police force's Bureau of Criminal Investigations. The attack was carried off the day after the capture of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. Cornered alone in a cramped hole near one of his sumptuous palaces, a weary, disheveled Saddam Hussein was seized by U.S. troops and displayed on television screens worldwide Sunday, a humiliating fate for one of history's most brutal dictators. The man who waged and lost two wars against the United States and its allies was armed with a pistol when captured in a styrofoam-covered underground hideout, but did not resist, the U.S. military said. In the broadcast images, he resembled a desperate fugitive, an all-powerful president who had ordered his army to fight to the death. Former Senator Paul Simon was honored Sunday in a memorial service filled with dignitaries who paid tribute to the popular low-key senator as a tireless advocate for the oppressed. Simon's plain casket, topped by the artwork of his grandchildren, rested in front of a stage at Southern Illinois University's sports arena, where more than 3,500 people attended a service that included a 60-piece orchestra. Mourners at the service included Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson, Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley, and former U.S. Labor Secretary Lynn Martin. When retired General Wesley Clark appears at Slobodan Milosevic's war crimes trial, it will not only be a meeting of wartime foes, but also of two candidates vying for power in elections at home. Clark was taking a hiatus from his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination to testify on Monday and Tuesday in closed sessions of the Yugoslav War Crimes Tribunal at The Hague. Speaking as U.S. authorities announced the capture of deposed Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, Clark said, "It's very important that international law is followed and that leaders who violate international law are held accountable." More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
Joe Horn really did phone it in Sunday night. The New Orleans receiver couldn't wait to talk about his touchdown, so he pulled out a cell phone and made a call from the end zone. After his second touchdown against the New York Giants, Horn was handed a phone that was planted under the padding used to protect the goalpost. The NFL had no immediate comment. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Even in this age of rampant materialism, when some consider you inferior if your SUV is not as big as theirs, and even when the president has proclaimed shopping to be a matter of patriotic duty, I found this particular magazine ad to be both offensive and absurd. Shop, it instructed. You're good at it. Excuse me? Is our society so vacuous? Is our worthiness as citizens and human beings so diminished that we should now judge ourselves by shopping skills? Now, I certainly respect those people of modest incomes who have to work the system every day just to make ends meet, those with savvy survival skills who stalk sales, use coupons, go to farmers markets, buy secondhand goods, and otherwise stretch their meager dollars and coins to cover the rent, food, utilities, and other basics in life. But this was no ad for the downscale. but for the decidedly upscale, pitched to those who have idle hours and ample funds or credit to pamper themselves with luxury in excess, implying that buying stuff is some sort of high virtue in its own right. That's why I support the spirit of Buy Nothing Day, which comes the day after Thanksgiving, when corporate world kicks off the spending splurge of the holidays. Sponsored by a group called Adbusters, Buy Nothing Day tries to reestablish a sense of human worthiness beyond consumerism. The group urges us to truly embrace the spirit of the season by making our own gifts, doing something for the community, exchanging personal favors, and otherwise connecting in non-commercial ways. It prizes human creativity over cash. This is Jim Hightower saying, unsurprisingly, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC refuse to allow Adbusters to purchase airtime for its Buy Nothing Day ads. But you can connect with their rebellious spirit on your own through www.adbusters.org.
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome to our program today. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Boy, what a weekend. You will recall, about three weeks ago? It was Tuesday, December 2nd. It was probably Wednesday, December 3rd. I haven't gone back and checked our show archives. But that week, the first week of December, I reported to you that it appeared... that any moment, Saddam Hussein could be taken into custody. And my prediction was, and you can go back and listen to the archives, they're still on the White Rose Society site. My prediction was that this administration would roll him out when they were into a bind, as they have done, you know, in the past. You know, there always seems to be some little bombshell that they drop when one of the scandals gets really bad. And now, I realize that sounds like conspiracy nut theory. And maybe it is. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Maybe every single time it's been just a coincidence. When Cheney and Halliburton, and then, you know, they announced the thing with the UN, and Bush and his insider trading at Harkin, and then they announced, you know, we're going to go after Afghanistan. And you go back and you look at the history of all of these events, and every single time the administration has been stuck in a major public relations disaster, there has been some war thing that has come out of it. Well, back on December 2nd was when Congressman Ray LaHood held his thumb and forefinger slightly apart and said, "We're this close to catching Saddam Hussein." He's a member of the Pentagon editorial board, a member of the Pentagon editorial board, a reporter, asked him, "Do you know something we don't?" Not expecting him to answer. And he said, "Yes, I do." The comment, now this I'm reading from a December 2nd, 2003 news story. The comment about the deposed Iraqi president came while LaHood discussed next year's elections. LaHood said polls still show most Americans support the U.S. military presence in Iraq, and then he added, "Once we get Saddam, and we're this close to getting Saddam." Then, well, so now we have this situation where these stories were coming out that James Baker, actually is Halliburton's lawyer, that Halliburton is being charged with serving, you know, rotted food and overcharging us for it to our soldiers. That for the first time in a long time, and actually a Republican, I mean, this was Representative Jim Gibbons, Congressman, a Republican from Nevada, called for congressional hearings of Vice President Dick Cheney's former company. This is from the Reno Gazette Journal. This is the area, this is a newspaper in his district, calling allegations that Halliburton overcharged for fuel in Iraq an absolute outrage. He says they charged up to $61 million too much for delivering gasoline to Iraqi citizens under a no-bid contract. He's the first Republican member of Congress to call for congressional hearings of the company. Gibbons said he's also concerned by news reports that Halliburton may have overcharged an additional $67 million to supply cafeteria services to U.S. soldiers in Iraq. Have you noticed these stories seem to have vanished? Gibbons said, "We have to follow every lead where it leads and let the chips fall where they may." This is a Republican congressman. He's the only member of Congress, in fact, to have served in the military in both the Vietnam War and the Gulf War. This is a guy who really cares about the quality of the product that our soldiers are getting. He pointed out that Halliburton has also been paid about $3 billion for supporting the army with the military with cafeterias, mail delivery, and other services. And he said, and I quote, "I am equally outraged over reports that I have seen that have stated that another Pentagon audit found unclean conditions and rotting food in more than one cafeteria serving American personnel." And then, almost simultaneously on Friday, it came out that James Baker, I mean, we've got a perfectly good Secretary of State whose job it would be to go to other countries and negotiate a change in the payment of the Iraqi debt and that sort of thing. So why did we bring out James Baker and dust him off? I mean, the last thing he did for this administration was lead the Republican riots in Florida, you will recall, during the 2000 vote count. And a couple of weeks ago, bragged to a Russian audience that he had fixed the Florida election for George Bush. Why bring out James Baker, pay him a huge fee, and send him off to France and Russia to try and negotiate this debt relief? These countries that are all very upset about Halliburton having exclusive contracts on the Iraqi oil. Well, it turns out that James Baker is also, and we just discovered this on Friday, Halliburton's lawyer. And, you know, another disaster threatening to blow up. And on top of this, on Friday it was released that today the Supreme Court has released the fact that it is going to listen to arguments about Vice President Dick Cheney's contacts with the energy industry. Here I'm reading from the CNN, as the Bush administration was drafting its energy policy. The court agreed to hear an appeal from the administration, which is fighting a lawsuit over the allegedly cozy relationship between industry and the panel Cheney assembled. This is the Judicial Watch and Sierra Club lawsuit, which so far has pried out no documents from the actual energy panel itself, but a few from government agencies that supplied them with information that they used, one of which was that page that I've told you about and we have links to on our website that shows a map of Iraq. Now, this is, again, Cheney's energy meetings were back before 9/11, in the spring of 2001. Cheney, for his meeting, they prepared a map of Iraq with all of the oil fields. There's well over 100 of them. And next to them, the names of potential oil companies around the world that would buy that oil if we controlled it. You can find this on the Judicial Watch website, the actual declassified documents. And all of this stuff was coming to a head. It was all blowing up in the face of the administration to the point where the president actually had to, on Thursday, at a news conference, say, well, you know, if Halliburton is overcharging us, we should get our money back. I mean, it had reached the point where the president was having to do damage control. And then we discover that Ray LaHood was right 3 weeks ago when he told us that the administration knew where Saddam was, they were ready to get him, and they would do so at the appropriate time. It appears Saturday was the appropriate time. And in interrogation now, it's been Reuters reports, Saddam was interrogated, and the first question, one of the first questions they asked him is, where are the weapons of mass destruction? And his answer, quite straightforward, was, we destroyed them all. You guys destroyed them all, and we destroyed them all back in 1998. Clinton took out the last of them, just like the inspectors said. I mean, those are not his words, but that was the point of it. They're gone. So day 308. In the search for weapons of mass destruction, day 154 today, in the search for the traitor in the White House who outed Joe Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, from the CIA. Day 794, in the search for the anthrax killer. Day 817, in the search for Osama bin Laden. Today's Montpelier Times Argus, our local newspaper here in Vermont. The editorial cartoon showed the doctor with his tongue depressor looking in Osama's mouth. And the headline above it was, looking in Saddam's mouth, and the headline above it was, still searching for Osama bin Laden. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937, if you have thoughts on this. Beyond this, I also want to tell you about where we should be looking and what's really going on, this armada of terror. You know, what's Osama bin Laden been up to while we've been distracted for the last year with Iraq? But first, let's hear what George in Woodland Hills, California has to say about this. George, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I am great, George. How about you? We've got a 2.5 feet of snow here in central Vermont. It is absolutely beautiful. The sun just came out. It's like something out of a Currier and Ives etching. But
yeah,
anyhow.
I miss the change of season. I'm from Brooklyn originally. Out here, it's only two temperatures, hot and too damn hot.
There you go.
I
love
it. 20 days.
Yeah.
Tom, if you can give me just like a minute, you know, I picked off some points about what I thought yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I'm kind of scattered and kind of jacked on coffee this morning. So if you can give me just a minute to tick off some points, I think I could really stir the pot today. Some things I saw yesterday that points to a bit of a conspiracy. Okay, let me preface what I'm going to say first, Tom, by telling you that I'm a recovering addict, okay? I've been clean and sober for 3 years, and if there's one thing an addict can recognize, it's somebody else. That's gouged. That's really whacked. And when I saw Saddam Hussein, the first thing I thought is, this guy is smacked out. He doesn't know where he is. He wasn't disoriented. This guy was gone.
He was stoned.
Have you ever? You've probably seen the movies and things. Junkies pouring at their nose. You know, that's sort of a habit you get. Your nose itches. Well, Hussein is doing it to his standstill. Although he's doing it to his beard. He can't even find his nose. But you could see him, you know, just pouring at his hair and his beard. He's gone. Second of all. I think it's amazing, after a quick shave and a tongue depressor test, they find his blood, they send it to the downtown St. Osama Hospital and Convalescent Home, where they have a very clean laboratory, I'm sure, and they extract his DNA. Now, they shake it and they bake it in the lab, and they toss it in the centrifuge, and they discover his DNA pattern. Now, wouldn't you know it, but one of the soldiers just happens to have on him a pristine patch of Saddam Hussein's DNA from the palace. And they put it together, and voila, they got a match. Now, what's funny to me about this is, first of all, when O.J. Simpson was tried, it took the FBI and the lab 4 to 6 weeks to come up with the DNA test.
Well, this young woman who just vanished, and they've got they've been dredging the rivers and things. It took a couple of days for them to get her DNA test done.
Well, you
too.
See what I mean? You don't get it in 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
So this doesn't. And first of all the early stories had about the DNA. Later stories in the day were omitting the DNA thing. I think they realize, oh, Christ, these people aren't that stupid. They're going to realize the DNA, we couldn't get DNA back that fast. Now, I mean, that's one thing. Second of all, now
okay,
I've got
about 30 seconds here, George.
Okay, I don't want to accuse Butch of staging things because, you know, God knows he wouldn't stage things to pursue his own ends. But don't you find it strange that our leader, who stands on the deck of an aircraft carrier in a flight suit, finds his enemy in a hole in the ground? I mean, how can you? I mean, that's a Hollywood sort of end. To reduce his tyrant to living in a hole in the ground, the guy that reportedly got away with millions is living in a hole in the ground.
Well, you know, the country's, you know, I'm not surprised by that at all, George, frankly. I mean, you know, it's the country's occupied by the largest military force on earth. You know, if where else is he going to hide?
Out of town. Wait.
Yeah, I think that's... I don't see that as evidence of conspiracy. The DNA thing, I think that's interesting. George, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. Dennis in Kent, Ohio, hang on the line here. We'll pick you up on the other side of the break. This is Tom Hartman. And you are smack dab in the middle of the vast radical middle conspiracy.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Dan Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family, cheers. Have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I have squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and chest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest.
And welcome back. My other question is, will Saddam's trial conveniently begin in September, October, just in time for the 04 election? And will any testimony that might have to do with, for example, that we supplied, that Ronald Reagan supplied Saddam with the gas that he used to gas his own people and continued to after he had gassed the Kurds, that we can, that Reagan continued to sell Saddam germs, viruses, and precursors to chemical weapons after he had gassed the Kurds, and that, in fact, when he gassed the Kurds, he did it using American-made helicopters with full knowledge of the Reagan administration, who continued to supply him with weapons. And, you know, are these kinds of things going to come out, or is it, you know, have they been dropped into the memory hole? And it's just amazing to me, the you know, Joe Lieberman. If Howard Dean had his way, Saddam would still be dictator of Iraq. Well, yeah, and 450 American young men and women would still be alive. Alive. Think about, you know, losing your own life. Think about death for a moment. 450 of our people have been sacrificed on the altar of what was once weapons of mass destruction, and then was, I mean, you know, the reasons have changed, and now it's bringing democracy to Iraq. Yeah, right. 47 dictators in the world right now. We just happen to pick the one who's sitting on a sea of oil. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Dennis in Kent, Ohio's on the line. Hey, Dennis, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
What's up, Tom? Thank you for taking my call.
I'm glad you called.
You know, I don't think any Democrat in this country is upset that Hussein's caught. You know, and
no.
That's how it's going to be painted, isn't it?
Oh, of course.
You know, but, you know, as if catching Hussein was the justification for this preemptive strike. Do you remember, you know, Bush saying, we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud? Do you remember that nonsense?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, again, to, you know, sacrifice 450 of our soldiers, putting all our soldiers in harm's way when the reasons were false is just inexcusable. And not to mention all the Iraqi civilians that got killed.
Yeah.
It's despicable. And, you know, what America won't realize, and I don't understand it, is that Bush started this war for political purposes. They couldn't find bin Laden. The economy was bad. You know, they drum up this wild goose chase in Iraq, and they're getting away with it because, you know, they caught this guy. You know, he was a bad man, a bad dictator. But as you said, you know, there are 47 other dictators in this world. Not to mention that guy in North Korea that's working on nukes, and we're not doing anything about it.
Yeah, we got to keep our eye on the prize here, Dennis. It's this is Judy. Did you see Judy Rudriff interviewing General Wesley Clark? And she says, you know, at a time like this, aren't you supportive of the president and all this? You know, Clark says, no, he shouldn't have gone into Iraq. A bunch of our soldiers died, and Judy was just speechless, as if, you know, capturing Saddam was the absolute justification for everything, including, you know,
facing clear evidence of peril. We cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun. It could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Yeah. Stick around. Dennis, if you got further comments to make, stick around. I'll hold you over the break. If not, thank you for calling. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
River blindness once forced people in Africa to abandon their homes, but efforts to control the disease have helped them go home. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. River blindness has produced human misery on a massive scale across Africa. Black flies spread the disease, and they infect their victims with a parasite that gives rise to numerous symptoms that include the loss of sight. Eric Perlman is a microbiologist at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and he studies this parasite. Perlman says it's spread by biting flies that breed in rivers that run through fertile farmlands. For generations, this disease has been a serious health problem in West Africa.
A result of this was that these villages were emptied. And you can go into the World Health Organization website, WHO.org, and you can find some pictures of this. You can see pictures of abandoned villages where people would just pick up and leave because of this disease. And that was really the motivation for the World Health Organization to become involved.
The UN organization used insecticides to kill the flies, and medical researchers looked for ways to treat people who had the disease. The victims are infected with larvae of a parasitic worm. When they grow into adults, they produce larvae of their own that can invade the eye. The worms themselves are infected with bacteria, and that's what causes the loss of eyesight. Perlman says the use of antibiotics can kill these bacteria and keep the adult worms from reproducing.
And so this is the drug against the adult parasites that people have been looking for years. The downside of this is that it takes several weeks of daily treatment to be effective, at least at this point in the investigation. And that, when you're talking about thousands of villages in fairly remote parts of Africa, is not the most practical approach.
Perlman says research is underway to make these treatments more practical. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All the late night bargains have been struck between the satin bowls and the bells. Prehistoric garbage trucks have the city to themselves. Echoes and roars, dinosaurs, they all doing a monster mash. Most of the taxis, most of the whores are only taking calls for cash.
And welcome back. You're in the real free speech zone. This is Tom Hartman and our special guest, George W.
If we know Saddam Hussein has dangerous weapons today, and we do, Does it make any sense for the world to wait to confront him as he grows even stronger and develops even more dangerous weapons?
Seemed like a genuine tough guy here this weekend, eh?
This is a massive stockpile of biological weapons that has never been accounted for and is capable of killing millions. We know that the regime has produced thousands of tons of chemical agents, including mustard gas, sarin nerve gas, VX nerve gas.
And we also know that both Scott Ritter and Hans Blix reported that they were all destroyed. All gone. Sorry. And we all knew that. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Philip in Florida, it looks like, about Ho Chi Minh. Hey, Philip, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Philip's not there. He should be. Hey, Philip, don't listen to your radio. Listen to the telephone. Okay, let's move on to Joe in Texas. 1-800-TALK, yes. Joe in Texas, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Okay. I want to talk about the media frenzy yesterday.
It was a frenzy, wasn't it?
Oh, I got so disgusted. This is bigger than Michael Jackson. You know what I mean? It's whatever happened to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But I heard, and this is something I don't know many, well, I reported on Democrat Underground yesterday, and people didn't know about it. On CBS News yesterday morning, when it first broke, I had it. I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but I was kind of surfing around, and I caught Dan Blatter on there, and he was on there talking about this, and he asked Dick Gephardt, was there any use of holding a Democrat convention now?
You're kidding.
No. He done that.
Because Saddam had been caught?
Yeah, because Saddam had been caught.
See, that's the same thing. Judy Woodruff, she says to Wesley Clark, what do you think about, you know, let me see if I can find her exact question. She said, does this take Iraq off the table as an issue in the presidential campaign? I mean, you know, give me a break. It's like, because we caught Saddam, we should forget that George Bush lied to us, that 450 of our young men and women died, that 10 to 20,000 Iraqi civilians died, that somewhere between 2 and 4,000 of our soldiers are missing their arms and their eyes and things. To bring democracy to 30 million people. Well, that's a noble cause. But I'm sorry, there's about 2 billion people who are lacking democracy. China is a more repressive regime. You want a regime that has killed more than 1 million people. Look at China. Saddam, okay, he killed 1 million people. That's nothing compared to what China has done, just in Tibet alone, much less all over their entire country. But no, Bush is sucking up to them. Pardon my rant. Okay, back to you, Joe.
I flipped it on NPR. I was kind of... I'm on the satellite radio. I flipped it on NPR, and they was liking it. I don't know who the guest was. They was liking it to JFK. This will be the day that you remember, you know, like, well, it might not be quite as big as JFK, you know, where you remember where you are, whatever, so that I don't get caught. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
I want to throw my TV set and everything out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Joe, thanks for calling and sharing that with us. There's really, you know, it's back to the sports metaphor. And I've said it before, and it just amazes me how true it is that people tend to form into camps. I think that there is a kind of a vast undecided middle, but most people who are politically conscious have either decided that they are conservative or have decided that they are liberal, whatever those words mean, but you know what I mean when I use them in shorthand. And they have either, you know, their take on this is either, Bush has achieved a great victory, this vindicates him, or what does this have to do with terrorism? What does this have to do with Osama bin Laden? What does this have to do with 9/11? Why have we spent $150 billion of our money and the blood of more than 400 of our young men and women? Why? Other than to secure oil supplies and to secure billions of dollars for Halliburton Corporation. And yeah, now we caught a bad guy, one of many. So what? Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire, has some thoughts on this. Brian, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. I want to tell you, as I was trying to tell, there's a local Boston right-wing talk show host who he was constantly, he's always hit the mute button with me, but I've tried it in the spirit of where I'm a former Marine, I'm a leftist too, but our political and foreign policy, it's supposed to stop at the ocean's edge, and it, especially at a time like this. And I'm very, very happy Saddam Hussein is captured. That's great.
Sure.
I hope that the Iraqi opposition subsides because of this. I'm hoping, I suppose it's against all hope, but I'm hoping that it will because of this, that our fighting men and women are safe now. That's what I'm hoping.
Wouldn't that be nice, Brian? But I think both of you and I know that that's a naive hope. That in fact, Saddam was not caught with a whole bunch of sophisticated communications equipment and a whole network of people. He was caught with a couple of AK-47s and a pistol in a hole in the ground.
Iraq is a proud country. That is the ancient land of Mesopotamia, the cradle of human civilization. They have a proud history of civilization. Even during the time of Saddam, they did. And as you were saying, that he was greatly aided in the 1980s in killing off the Kurds. In such ghastly ways by the Reagan administration. Yet this part of the Saddam we don't want to talk about.
With Donald Rumsfeld as the Secretary of
I just want to I tried to talk to this right wing host about in August 1998 when Bill Clinton he hurled 80 cruise missiles at Bin Laden's camps in Afghanistan. He nearly killed the SOB, but for the Pakistani, our so called war on terror ally, the intelligence, their cell phone call to Bin Laden about an hour before the attacks saved the demon's life. And the Republican Congress at that time only cared about Monica's dress and recapturing the White House, even if they could do it by illegal means or unconstitutional means. And I'm just, that's not patriotism at all. That's not supporting your president. Yet they have they don't care about that part of American history. I suppose it's beyond me, Tom. I'm a manic depressive, honest ex-Marine who's I look to people like yourself, Dr. Tom Hartman, with your calmer mind to try to reason this out. It takes hard thinking to get us through this war on terror and to actually win over the Arab people and the great Islamic cultures of the world. This is not the right direction to do it.
I absolutely agree. And in fact, a diplomat from Jordan is quoted in today's progress report as talking about how this is actually for many people in the Arab world, particularly if there is a show trial or anything which is perceived as humiliating Saddam Hussein,
dishonor,
is going to further inflame tensions in the region.
The concept of honor came from the Arabic Islamic world. It was brought to the Europeans in the concept of chivalry, but we got that from the Crusades. This is something we don't want to have any understanding of the Arab world other than thinking of in terms of oil production, for God's sake. This war on Iraq, if you really wanted to fight the war on terror, the harder nut to face was Pakistan.
Oh yeah, absolutely, Brian. I gotta stop you there because I got other callers and I want to move along. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And yes, Pakistan. I mean, Pakistan is another dictatorship, but we also have to acknowledge that as long as the United States is importing half of its oil without having control of the oil producing regions in the world that can supply our oil needs, and assuming that we are going to continue the Bush administration policy of not encouraging the development of alternative sources of energy and not encouraging consumption and aggressively encouraging, I'm sorry, not and not encouraging conservation and aggressively encouraging consumption by giving a $100,000 tax deduction to people who buy SUVs, for example, as long as we continue to do that, the fate of our nation is found in the Middle East. I mean, that's a simple reality. If you're going to do it the Bush-Cheney way, the way that is so profitable for the oil industry that they both came out of, then you have to control the oil in Iraq. You simply have to, because Saudi Arabia's oil wells are starting to get old, and the other big oil reserves north of that region in Turkmenistan and on the Caspian Sea are owned by Russia, and Putin is circling the wagons. He's shutting down democracy. He's increasingly getting more and more insular, and he's cutting deals to sell that oil to China, which is rapidly rivaling the United States in terms of its imports. And so if we don't lay our hands on it quick, and the three areas where we really need to nail down the oil, if we're going to follow the Bush-Cheney prescription of consume more, more big SUVs, don't conserve, don't put any money into alternative fuels and energy sources, and just keep dumping the carbon out. If we're going to do that, we need to control Venezuela's oil, which is one of the reasons why you see this kind of popular uprising going on down there. It's sort of like the California thing. They're doing this recall petition that's being funded by conservative, by big corporations. Number one, you got to have Venezuela's oil. You got to have Mexico's oil. And you got some problems there, but, you know, NAFTA, we've got much of that nailed down. And we've got to have Iraq's oil. We've got to have Middle Eastern oil, and Iraq has the most of the Middle Eastern oil. So you put it in that context, and what Bush has done just makes perfect sense. And you can see where he may even think it's the best thing for America if he believes that, you know, it's dumb to conserve and it's stupid to look have alternative energy sources. Did you know, by the way, that the oldest photovoltaic cell, the oldest PV cell, you know, one of these cells that you put it out in the sun and it produces electricity, 51 years old, it's still producing electricity. They don't know what the lifetime of photovoltaic cells is because none of them have ever expired. They just keep on producing electricity. Keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. Just like magic. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, Philip in Florida is back on the line. Hey, Philip, welcome back.
Hi. I just wanted to remind everybody that Ho Chi Minh died in the middle of the Vietnam War, and it didn't propel that president back into the White House, and it sure didn't ensure the final
the
victory,
end of the Vietnam
so
War.
To speak, in Vietnam either.
Yeah.
Ho Chi Minh died very much. He's very dead, and I'm sure a lot of people, I don't remember how much many people were celebrating his death, but it sure didn't change anything about the war. I didn't see any demonstrations in New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Miami, Houston, Dallas, you name it. I didn't see anybody out in the street or hear about anybody out in the street celebrating the death of Saddam Hussein. I wonder why.
Well, you know, they're doing it plenty on TV. We don't need to go out in the streets. I think that we can all be...
But they were
well,
out in the street protesting the war.
Country. Yeah. Well, that was, you know, trying to stop something. We as a nation, we don't generally say, you know, hooray, hooray, out on the streets.
We don't? Not when someone...
When was the last time?
Or
maybe
the
ticker tape parades after World War II. I mean, that was the last time. Come on, Phil.
Well, I don't know. People were motivated to get out in the streets when their basketball team wins a championship or their football team wins a championship.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay, you make a good point. And I would say that what this administration is trying to do right now, and they're doing it very effectively, is and with all of their cheerleaders in the corporate-owned media across the United States, is spin this thing as the great victory. You know, Bush had his great victory when he landed on the aircraft carrier, and now this is going to be his second great victory. And their hope, of course, will be that it sticks. But we've already had two suicide bombings since that time. And the suicide bombing part of it is what really concerns me. And Philip, thanks for the call, by the way. The suicide bomb, I mean, is the part that really concerns me, because that says to me that this is more than just nationalism. You've got religious fanaticism mixed into this thing, and when that's a pot. You stir that pot, and it gets very, very dangerous. Armin in Florida is on the line. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number. Hey, Armin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up?
Hi. I'd like to make a few points, if I may. First off, the mindset of what my wife calls the SUV mentality.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a small car, we do, and you have to go out in traffic and communicate with some of these people, they're really obnoxious. And I hear some of them when they call up the right-wing radio stations. It's amazing. When President Clinton was in office, I could hear them commenting about how they don't want to subsidize my health care, you know, with a socialized system. But it's okay if I socialize and pay for their cheap fuel to waste and build their stadiums for their sports.
Well, you know, it's kind of a testosterone thing, Armin. And you know, thanks for the call and making that point and sharing that. Because see, that is really That's the bottom line is, you know, are we gonna have a nation that is dependent on oil, and therefore we have to have wars in the Middle East? Back in 1954, King Hubbard, the oil scientist King Hubbard, predicted that the halfway point in oil in the United States would happen in 78, and the halfway point in oil for the world would happen in the early 1990s. And he said within 2 years of that halfway point, when the Hubbard peak is reached, where worldwide oil production peaks and then begins to decline, you're going to start seeing wars in energy producing regions. Well, he was wrong. He was off by a few years. He's dead now. But 2000 was the year that worldwide oil production peaked. And sure enough, 2 years later, wars in oil-producing regions. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Kelso, hang on the line. We'll pick up your call on the other side of this break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman Show.
back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working in middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
While there are many dangers in the world, the threat from Iraq stands alone because it gathers the most serious dangers of our age in one place.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And we had one more call here. Kelso, driving through New Mexico. Hey, Kelso, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tommy. This is Celso. I'm just passing by Albuquerque, okay? I'm a Brazilian immigrant with four beautiful American children. And Tommy, you said something that it touched my heart deeply. These people, they don't think how hard it is to raise our kids. Okay, I'm a hard worker. I'm a software engineer. Work very hard every day of my life. And every day I show my kids what is happening in Baghdad, Iraq, and they say, see those people dying, those soldiers, American soldiers dying. I don't want you kids to enroll in the army or any armed force. You know why? Because only the poor are there dying and living their lives over there in that ground. Because the rich, they are attending Yale, Stanford, Harvard, all the Ivy League universities. Why the poor has to enroll in the army or the armed force to have a free education with the hope to one day to make it in life.
And yeah, there's only one member of Congress who has a son or daughter who is currently serving in the U.S. military overseas. Only one member of the United States Congress, the Senator of the House.
You are getting to the point, man, and I hope that the people in this country, those that are not the privileged ones, they open their eyes, okay, and tell the government, say, no, we need the... We shouldn't have to lose our kids for them to have opportunity in life. This is not fair, and I'm going to share with you the last thought is this. Where was George Bush's son in the Vietnam War? Do you know where he was?
Yeah, he was in Alabama or Louisiana working on a political campaign for a friend of his father's when he was and partying hard when he was supposed to be in the National Guard. If you're talking about our current president, he was AWOL, absent without leave. It's a felony, and that's what it was. This is Tom. Celso, thank you for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Cornered alone in a cramped hole near one of his sumptuous palaces, a weary, disheveled Saddam Hussein was seized by U.S. troops and displayed on television screens worldwide Sunday, a humiliating fate for one of history's most brutal dictators. The man who waged and lost two wars against the United States and its allies was armed with a pistol when captured in a styrofoam-covered underground hideout, but did not resist, the U.S. military said. In the broadcast images, he resembled a desperate fugitive, an all-powerful president who had ordered his army to fight to the death. Four Iraqi policemen were injured when a car bomb went off outside a police station in Baghdad Monday, the U.S. military and Iraqi police said. The attack occurred just after 8 a.m. when a suicide bomber drove his car into the gate of a police station in the capital's Amaria district, said Captain Brad Loudon. Witnesses said the building houses the police force's Bureau of Criminal Investigations. The attack was carried off the day after the capture of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. When retired General Wesley Clark appears at Slobodan Milosevic's war crimes trial, it will not only be a meeting of wartime foes, but also of two candidates vying for power in elections at home. Clark was taking a hiatus from his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination to testify on Monday and Tuesday in closed sessions of the Yugoslav War Crimes Tribunal at The Hague. Speaking as U.S. authorities announced the capture of deposed Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, Clark said, "It's very important that international law is followed and that leaders who violate international law are held accountable." Former Senator Paul Simon was honored Sunday in a memorial service filled with dignitaries who paid tribute to the popular low-key senator as a tireless advocate for the oppressed. Simon's plain casket, topped by the artwork of his grandchildren, rested in front of a stage at Southern Illinois University's sports arena, where more than 3,500 people attended a service that included a 60-piece orchestra. Mourners at the service included Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson, Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley, and former U.S. Labor Secretary Lynn Martin. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. That's just too much to lose.
519 Christmas carolers braved the New York cold and fa-la-la-la-la'd themselves into the Guinness Book of World Records on Saturday with the largest carol service, breaking the previous record of 517. Guinness officials had 12 marshals on the scene to make sure all carolers were actually singing and not just moving their lips. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Even in this age of rampant materialism, when some consider you inferior if your SUV is not as big as theirs, and even when the president has proclaimed shopping to be a matter of patriotic duty, I found this particular magazine ad to be both offensive and absurd. Shop, it instructed. You're good at it. Excuse me? Is our society so vacuous? Is our worthiness as citizens and human beings so diminished that we should now judge ourselves by shopping skills? Now, I certainly respect those people of modest incomes who have to work the system every day just to make ends meet, those with savvy survival skills who stalk sales, use coupons, go to farmers markets, buy secondhand goods, and otherwise stretch their meager dollars and coins to cover the rent, food, utilities, and other basics in life. But this was no ad for the downscale, but for the decidedly upscale, pitched to those who have idle hours and ample funds or credit to pamper themselves with luxury in excess, implying that buying stuff is some sort of high virtue in its own right. That's why I support the spirit of Buy Nothing Day, which comes the day after Thanksgiving, when corporate world kicks off the spending splurge of the holidays. Sponsored by a group called Adbusters, Buy Nothing Day tries to reestablish a sense of human worthiness beyond consumerism. The group urges us to truly embrace the spirit of the season by making our own gifts, doing something for the community, exchanging personal favors, and otherwise connecting in non-commercial ways. It prizes human creativity over cash. This is Jim Hightower saying, unsurprisingly, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC refuse to allow Adbusters to purchase airtime for its Buy Nothing Day ads. But you can connect with their rebellious spirit on your own through www.adbusters.org.
Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just so cute?
I like Santa Claus.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics. 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S, 511-MACS. If you have a Macintosh and need anything for it, or if you would like to get one, or a Christmas gift for one. Also, the Organic Wine Company is one of our sponsors. Organic Wine Company providing some, they've got some great Christmas specials. Give them a call at 1-888-ECO-WINE for that information. Britain's North Sea oil rigs. Now, just think for a minute about how dependent the world is on oil. You know, it was not a coincidence, a mistake, an accident, or whatever, that Osama bin Laden picked the World Trade Center to attack. I mean, think of the name, World Trade. And, you know, striking at the economic heart of the beast. And there is now a substantial amount of intelligence. I mean, this is really what we should be focusing on, is the fact that there is an international criminal at large. Now, of course, you can't declare a war on a criminal, but you can track him down and prosecute him, arrest him and prosecute him. And there is an international criminal at large, apparently safe in Pakistan, but, you know, we're not exactly sure where. For some reason, we're having a hard time finding a 6 foot four or 6 foot seven guy driving riding around on a camel or a donkey with a dialysis machine. But anyhow, his attack was targeted at the world's economy, or at least what he perceives as the Western world's economy. And where better to bring down the Western world's economy again, or to try to do it again, or to harm it, you know, to think if this is his point of striking, than to go after our oil supplies. And where better to go after our oil supplies than where they are easily accessible and most vulnerable? At sea. There are two points, where virtually all of the oil that gets imported into the United States and most of Europe is available for attack at sea. One are the offshore drilling platforms, such as the North Sea off the coast of England, or off the coast of the British Isles. And the other are the various waterways that the oil that is pumped in the Middle East, now in Iraq, as well as other countries in the Middle East, has to pass through in order to get to the United States. And it turns out, and I'm just, you know, frankly, when I first got this article, Armada of Terror Heading Toward British Ports and Oil Rigs by Gordon Thomas, who publishes a report on globe-intel.net. And I was a little skeptical, and then I went back and looked, and I, you know, did a little search, and I found, you know, on January 1st of this year, the Washington Post reported on this. In September 21st of this year, the New York Daily News reported on it, and that appears to be about it. But you'll recall back when the debate on the $87 billion for Iraq was going on, and perhaps more to the point, back when the debate about whether we should even authorize the president to go to war with Iraq was going on, it was pointed out that, number one, or the closest Iraq got to terrorists and terrorism was Saddam's paying a $25,000 reward, or, you know, whatever, bounty to suicide bombers in Israel. And that was a terrible, terrible thing for him to be doing. And of course, there are numerous ways to put a stop to the transfer of funds around the world, not the least of which, I mean, they know who these families are. They just, you know, money appears in their bank account, take it. I mean, you know, but in any case, Saddam was doing that, and that allowed Bush to say he's in bed with terrorists. But the debate that was happening at that time was, it's going to cost, the projections were, you know, $100 billion, maybe $200 billion. $100 billion was the number that was being thrown around a lot, to attack Iraq and successfully seize control of the country, you know, quack, quack, quack. Turns out, we spent a little less than $90 billion in our securing Iraq and its oil fields. And then we appropriated another $87 billion to continue that process. So it's a total of a little over $150-160 billion. And the point was made that only about 2% of the ships that come into the United States ports are inspected, and that if we were to inspect every ship and every piece of cargo on every ship before it arrives in our ports, it would be a huge project, very expensive, involve a lot of people, and would cost about $7 billion. Now, $7 billion is not chump change. It's a lot of cash. That's $1 million 7,000 times. It's you know, it's $100,000 700,000 times. It's a lot of money. It'd be about $7 billion, and the administration said, "No, we really don't. We're not going to do that. We're not really worried about that. Instead, we're going to take on Saddam Hussein in Iraq because that's where the real threat is. That's where the real danger to the world is." Is Saddam Hussein in Iraq? You'll recall George Bush pointing out in his famous
speech. As a condition for ending the Persian Gulf War, the Iraqi regime was required to destroy its weapons of mass destruction.
And they did.
To cease all development of such weapons.
And they did.
And to stop all support for terrorist groups.
And they sort of did.
The Iraqi regime has violated all of those obligations.
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
It possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons. It is seeking nuclear weapons.
And, well, it had a centrifuge piece about the size of your fist buried under a rose bush. But in any case, so we were told Iraq is really where the action is. This is where the real problem is. This is where we need to focus our attention and money. And so rather than spending $7 billion to protect our ports and our sea lanes, we spent $150 billion so far in Iraq. The initial $80 to $90 billion for the invasion plus the $87 billion that we just appropriated. And now comes this story, and I'll read you a couple of lines out of this story by Gordon Thomas, and then I'll share with you the pieces from the Washington Post and the New York Daily News. Britain's North Sea oil rigs and coastal refineries are prime targets for Al-Qaeda's fleet of 28 ships. The vessels are feared to contain suicide bombers and cargoes of explosives and poisons, including anthrax. Now, in response to this, the British Royal Navy has launched an operation codenamed Operation Noble Eagle. And they say this is the largest search operation since World War II, looking for these things. Neil Adams, a Houston-based offshore security and anti-terrorism consultant, said that oil rigs and refineries are, quote, attacks waiting to happen. There is a significant threat because oil is the lifeblood of the Western world, end quote. And he goes on to say these ships that Al-Qaeda owns are registered in Senegal and Liberia. Several of the ships fly the flag of St. Vincent and the Grenadines in the West Indies. Quote, like the German raider ships of World War II, bin Laden's vessels constantly change their names, flags, and appearances, end quote, said a senior U.S. naval intelligence official. One ship is known as the Thawra, which is revolution in Arabic. Another is named Nidal, struggle. Master terrorist Abu Nidal was bin Laden's own hero. A third has the call sign Tahrir, liberation. Other names include Saber, which it means patience, and Jihad, which is, of course, holy war. Flying flags of convenience, the ships avoid stringent checks on their crews, cargoes, or passengers. U.S. intelligence documents confirm that an Al-Qaeda ship carried the explosives used to bomb two U.S. embassies in Africa in 1998. So we've known about this. This was among the information, I mean, that the Clinton administration passed along to the Bush administration. When I was in Washington, D.C. last month at the Center for American Progress, big hoop-de-doop, I sat in on a private briefing with Sandy Berger, who was Bill Clinton's national security advisor, his Clinton's equivalent of Condoleezza Rice, and he told us how when he first met with Condoleezza Rice, he said to her, he gave her a big stack of papers, and he said, your number one job is going to be to find Osama bin Laden. We almost killed him. We almost got him when we attacked him in Afghanistan, but the Pakistanis had warned us away. I'm paraphrasing from memory here. I'm not quoting Sandy Berger, but this was the essence of what he said. And we almost got him, and if you don't get him, you're going to have a big problem. And it turns out that in 98, they knew that the explosives in Africa came from these ships. I mean, they got 28 ships on the high seas. A RAND Corporation report, produced in cooperation with the European Union, warns that, quote, the international community has not become significantly aware of Al-Qaeda's threat at sea. The focus is still on stopping an attack from the air, end quote. Former CIA Director James Woolsey warned the terrorist attacks against a port or oil rig are, quote, a malevolent reality. A senior U.S. naval intelligence officer said, quote, oil rigs and refineries are at their highest risk since 9/11, end quote. Oh, and he went on to say, this is a senior U.S. naval intelligence officer, Christmas is a time when security can lapse due to human failing. Al-Qaeda will see this as a chance for them to also celebrate by hitting their targets. So I read that and I thought, whoa, this. Well, then we go back to the Washington Post. On January 1st of this year, United States intelligence officials have identified 15 freighters around the world they believe are controlled by Al-Qaeda. Since September 11th, the list of the U.S. list of Al-Qaeda mystery ships has varied from a low of a dozen to a high of 50. There's at least a dozen of them, and maybe as many as 50. This reported by the Washington Post, the New York Daily News. In September of this year, terrorism experts feel that the fear that the world's oil tankers, sea lanes, and major ports are dangerously vulnerable to 9/11 scale attacks that would cripple world trade. They cite an alarming combination of factors, including terrorist-connected Southeast Asian rebels involved in piracy, the difficulty of tracking suspect vessels in the murky world of commercial shipping, and an Al-Qaeda fleet that could be as large as 300 vessels. So, but instead of, you know, keeping our eye on that prize, the one that Sandy Berger warned Condoleezza Rice about, warning her that 9/11 may happen as George Bush was coming into office, we have instead set our focus on Saddam Hussein. And yes, we got him. Aren't we wonderful? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Show. NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
It's Tom Hartman defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Our question, are we allowing the circus in Iraq, Saddam Hussein and the war and all this stuff, to take our eyes off the real issue that America is facing? The real issues that America is facing, the problems of our economy, the problems of creeping corporatism. It's actually not creeping anymore. It's rushing. Corporations seizing control of our democracy, bribery scandals within the United States Congress, and a small band of crazed, fanatic, religious right-wingers, Osama and company, who seem bent on harming us and other countries around the world, or other democracies around the world, and declaring war on democracy and doing something about them. Are we allowing the situation in Iraq to completely eradicate our memory of the fact that we're supposed to be looking for Osama bin Laden and his associates? 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Neil from New York is on the line. Hey, Neil, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, Tom?
Yeah, you're live and on the air.
Okay, Tom, listen, I have an interesting thing for you. It's about when you were mentioning about the boats and freighters and cargo coming into harbors, and it's been one of my interests and concerns for a while. My postgraduate work was in that Stevens Institute, which is kind of a technical school for actually, boat operations and, the technology behind, freighters and boats and things. But one of the areas I looked into is this, gamma ray radiation. There's a company out there called High Energy Technology.
A friend of mine actually sold a bunch of those things to Saudi Arabia, where they can scan an entire container, an entire
correct.
Truck as it drives by.
They basically radiate with the gamma rays, and it's kind of a spectrometer type
of
thing.
It's like a giant X-ray machine.
But no. X-rays can only do... Right now,
X-rays can't penetrate a truck, but it's
correct.
I know what you're talking. This is the kind of thing that you can look inside vehicles. Your point, Neil.
You can look into it, and what you can do is basically different chemicals and different substances will give off different kinds of signatures.
That's right.
And you can see if there's plastic, explosives or dynamite or
right.
Drugs or whatever, and it can be done in a kind of a very fast manner in a sense, and it has a depth. Aspect to it, so a full 8-foot, 10-foot container can be looked at in a scanning manner, and
right.
it can be done in a very quick manner. And
right.
this is one of the technologies that the government is not working on, and I've been wondering about it. And I just wonder about if they're not giving enough money to certain
Yeah, that's part of that. It's $7-8 billion estimated cost to inspect every single container before it's loaded on every single ship at all the exit ports around the world. In other words, if we were to actually put our customs inspectors at points of exit around the world, even before they got on the ships coming here. It would involve physical inspection and also gamma ray inspection. I mean, the technology's there. It's available. It's actually fairly widely used in the Middle East. So, yeah, you're right, Neil. And I don't know who's not paying off whom in this administration to make it happen either. Apparently, the airline industry has a little more juice, and certainly the power corporations getting their $13 billion payola in the new energy bill, they've got a little more juice, too, than national security does. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
River blindness once forced people in Africa to abandon their homes, but efforts to control the disease have helped them go home. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. River blindness has produced human misery on a massive scale across Africa. Black flies spread the disease, and they infect their victims with a parasite that gives rise to numerous symptoms that include the loss of sight. Eric Perlman is a microbiologist at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, and he studies this parasite. Perlman says it's spread by biting flies that breed in rivers that run through fertile farmlands. For generations, this disease has been a serious health problem in West Africa.
A result of this was that these villages were emptied. And you can go onto the World Health Organization website, WHO.org, and you can find some pictures of this. You can see pictures of abandoned villages where people would just pick up and leave because of this disease. And that was really the motivation for the World Health Organization to become involved.
The UN organization used insecticides to kill the flies, and medical researchers looked for ways to treat people who had the disease. The victims are infected with larvae of a parasitic worm. When they grow into adults, they produce larvae of their own that can invade the eye. The worms themselves are infected with bacteria, and that's what causes the loss of eyesight. Perlman says the use of antibiotics can kill these bacteria and keep the adult worms from reproducing.
And so this is the drug against the adult parasites that people have been looking for years. The downside of this is that it takes several weeks of daily treatment to be effective, at least at this point in the investigation. And that, when you're talking about thousands of villages in fairly remote parts of Africa, is not the most practical approach.
Perlman says research is underway to make these treatments more practical. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, this is Suzanne Cowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey! This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud!
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah!
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus!
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Just can't lose the time.
That's all we want is to feel free. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Freedom around the world. There's only 43 now dictators left? I lose track, but there's not that many. Democracy has been exploding through the 20th century across the world, and hopefully that trend will continue. But one of the keys to democracy is open government. I want to get into that. You wanted to say something? Okay, here. Just go ahead. Pardon me.
We must also never forget the most vivid events of recent history. On September the 11th, 2001, America felt its vulnerability, even to threats that gather on the other side of the earth.
And that was a good reason to go into Iraq.
Iraq possesses ballistic missiles.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
With a likely range of hundreds of miles.
Hundreds.
Far enough to strike Saudi Arabia, Israel, Turkey, and other nations. In a region where more than 135,000 American civilians and service members live and work.
135,000.
We've also discovered through intelligence that Iraq has a growing fleet of manned and unmanned aerial vehicles.
Yeah, they had one made out of balsa
wood. Used to disperse chemical or biological weapons across broad areas.
Yep. Bad guys.
We're concerned that Iraq is exploring ways of using these UAVs for missions targeting the United States.
Yep. This third world dustbin could actually attack the United States. It was a serious issue. Now, the real issue, the one that this administration ignored when Sandy Berger handed it to Condoleezza Rice, the one that George Bush ignored when Bill Clinton explicitly told him about it, the one that they're ignoring led to the vulnerability that led to 9/11, which is why they are stonewalling investigations into 9/11. The real problem here, since last summer, this is from the New York Daily News, since last summer, U.S. intelligence agencies have been picking up chatter from terrorists about ships, ports, bridges, and divers. Maritime security experts say an attack in a major shipping lane like the Strait of Gibraltar, where all the oil from the Middle East has to go through, would cause a huge bottleneck of freighters and tankers that could have a catastrophic impact on the world economy. The author of Inside Al-Qaeda, Global Network of Terror, Dr. Rohan Guantana, says, quote, unless the international community invests more resources to monitor and track terrorist ships today, we are likely to suffer another 9/11 inside a port like the New York Harbor in the coming months, end quote. But no, we're not focusing on that. I'm sorry. We are focusing on the fact that we caught this tinhorn dictator who supposedly was preparing at any minute to actually attack.
We're concerned that Iraq is exploring ways of using these UAVs for missions targeting the United States.
That he was going to attack us with that 7-foot-wing balsa airplane, gasoline model, 300-foot range thing that they found. Don't get me started on that. Anyway, so in the midst of this now, we see these Westar executives are charged with looting a utility, but what about bribing? I'll give you more detail on this in a minute, but we've got a bribery scandal going on with the Republicans in the Congress. You've got the possible explosion of a scandal around the fact that James Baker is Halliburton's lawyer, and now he's running around the world trying to cut deals that are going to help Halliburton cement and consolidate their affiliation in Iraq. You got the Supreme Court today deciding that it's going to review the lawsuit against Dick Cheney and the energy companies. The bottom line here is, number one, we're not paying attention to the real threats to America, and instead we're going out, we've gone after this, George W. finishing his father's business or something. And number two, with the first CEO administration in the history of the United States, where you've got two oil industry CEOs as president and vice president, presiding over an explosion, an explosive increase in America's dependence upon oil and upon foreign oil, We find ourselves adventuring all over the world in those, just by coincidence, in those places where there happens to be the most oil on the planet. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim in Nashville, Tennessee is on the line. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program. What are your thoughts on this?
Good morning, Tom. I've been a little removed from all the news for about 3 weeks in the mountains of Tennessee and back in a cabin, and I've just been removed totally from news. And I came home Saturday, and I thought I'd got my paranoia and my nerves in check, and to wake up Sunday morning to the second coming.
Right.
And but, you know, if they really want to catch the terrorists, they really ought to go to the 1600 Pennsylvania. I think they'll find a bunch of them right there.
Well, they'll certainly find a traitor, a treasonous traitor, and you know, who outed a CIA agent and brought down a multi-state, multinational corporation that was a front for the Central Intelligence Agency, put many, many other agents at risk, and might have led to the death of individuals involved in our in specifically our anti-terrorism intelligence apparatus.
Yeah.
You know, bustbob.com is the place to go for info on that.
But this is a big administration, Tom, and they may not ever find him. You know what I mean?
That's right. There's a lot of senior officials.
But something that really concerns me more than anything, and you probably have already talked about it. Like I said, I've been removed for a while. But I heard something the other day very shortly that that IE America is going to be gone. And I want to know, what are we going to do? And are you going to be available? Is Malloy going to be available? What are we going to do? And I'll hang up and listen to you. And I love your show so much, and I just hope they don't take you away from us. And thank
you very much. Thank you. IE as a network is a wonderful organization that I'm proud and pleased to be affiliated with all this time. And apparently its owner has decided to put it up for sale and or toward the end of February. Look at other options. Time will tell. It's also, networks are distribution systems. There are alternative distribution systems for this program. What I can tell you is that no matter what happens with IE, and there may, you know, it's entirely possible that everything will continue as it has. But if it doesn't, my program will still be on the air. And you may have to tune into a different web stream or something like that, but it'll still be on the air. And we'll still be on the Sirius satellite, and we'll still be on the air on the radio stations that we're on all over the United States. It's going to be, you know, there won't be any, there's nothing to worry about there, Jim. And, you know, thanks for the call, and thanks for your concern. It is a great network and a bunch of very good people here. Enrique in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Enrique, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to add to your list of things and intelligence failures that we've had on this Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the August 6th presidential daily briefing that went to the ranch in Crawford, Texas. And I guess Bush, handled it and or grabbed it or whatever, and he said, well, I'm going to go fishing. And he went fishing that day. And in that briefing, it said,
Let me just interrupt you here for our listeners. This was exactly a month before 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
1 month before 9/11. Now finish the story, Enrique.
Okay, so this presidential briefing said that, Al-Qaeda's planning something big. We don't really know what it is, but we suspect it's involving commercial aircraft, and they probably would want to finish the job on the World Trade Centers. And that was, didn't give a time and place, but I mean, it was pretty obvious exactly what it was.
Yes, and nobody said, let's heighten airport security. Nobody said, let's heighten World Trade Center security. Nobody said, let's look at systems for getting people out of the World Trade Center if there's another bombing there, because there had already been one back in.
Yeah, and then a month later, Karl Rove writes an internal memo, I guess, to the Republican Party saying that, the war on terrorism was really a good benefit to the Republican Party because they could look tough on fighting terrorism.
Well, it was. I mean, you know, when Bush goes around and gives his fundraising speeches, part of his standard, one of his best applause or laugh lines is where he talks about how when he first came into office, people didn't, you know, they wondered if he actually had a mandate and was he a legitimate president and the economy was going in the toilet and his tax breaks were going nowhere. And then 9/11 happened and he says, and I turned to Mitch Daniels and I said, hey, I just hit the trifecta. And everybody laughs and applauds. I mean, you know,
Yeah, and if you go between August 6th and whenever Karl Rove wrote that memo, you draw a straight line. I mean, you've got a conspiracy theory that says that they just let it happen.
Well, or an incompetence followed by seize the moment opportunity theory. I'm more inclined to think that they. Although, you know, as I said, I sat in a meeting with Sandy Berger, and he described in detail what he told Condoleezza Rice about Al-Qaeda. And it, you know, had I been Condi Rice, I would have been saying, hey, wait a minute, we need to learn more about this Osama bin Laden guy, and we need to do something about him quick, because he's a real threat to the United States. And instead, the administration chose not to do that at all. Now, that might have had something to do with the fact that Osama bin Laden's father was business partners with George Bush's father. Mm-hmm. You know, time will... And that, again, you know, you wonder, why are they stonewalling the 9/11 Commission? Why have they fought this thing so hard? Why are they willing to take these things all the way to the Supreme Court to prevent the 9/11 Commission from having access to, for example, the White House daily briefings? And you know, you put it in this context, and suddenly it starts to make sense. You know, without it being some far out conspiracy thing that involves, you know, people from outer space or something. I mean, this is just, you know, incompetence combined with cronyism combined with you know, seize the day opportunism.
Yeah, well, it doesn't pass the smell test, and you know, it deserves congressional hearings that are televised, just like Watergate was. We'll have to interrupt the Price is Right game shows, and you know, but
or like Clinton's impeachment hearings were.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you know, televise it like Clinton's impeachment hearings too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, let's get it out there. Enrique, I agree. I agree. Thanks for the call. Wow, what a day! Federal prosecutors now have charged two executives of Westar Energy. Now, this may seem unrelated, but in my mind, this is all the same stuff. And that is that this administration is absolutely devoted to the conservative cause of the focus of government should be the health and welfare of the largest corporations and small and medium-sized businesses, entrepreneurs, and individual voters and citizens should be deriving any benefit that they get from living in this society from those large corporations, rather than from the government, which they themselves are supposed to be responsible for. Here we have this article. This is from Joan Claybrook, who's the president of Public Citizen, one of Ralph Nader's groups. And she says, and I quote, "Although federal prosecutors have charged two former executives of Westar Energy, the largest electric utility in Kansas, with looting $32 million from the company, no action has yet been taken on evidence indicating a possible criminal bribery scheme by these same Westar executives and involving certain members of the U.S. Congress." Just to give you a recap, here's what she says about this. The two indicted Westar executives, David Wittig and David Lake, were part of a scheme in 2002 revealed through emails released by the company's board of directors to, quote, "obtain a seat at the table," end quote, in last year's Energy Bill Conference Committee by giving money to a number of congressional campaigns. The campaigns included those of House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, Mr. Bug Killer from Texas, and Representative Billy Towson, Republican of Louisiana, also known as Chemical Billy, who co-chaired the Energy Conference in 2002 and 2003, and Representative Joe Barton, Oily Joe, Republican of Texas, an influential member of the conference both years. According to the emails uncovered in the bank loan investigation, Lake was asked to give money to several congressional campaigns, none of them in Kansas. These guys, you know, this is an energy company in Kansas. He said he sent a return email asking, "What is our connection?" and was answered that these were the, quote, "immediate needs," end quote, of key members of the conference committee who would decide whether a regulatory exemption the Westar executives wanted in order to promote their scheme to sell off utility assets would be included in the 2002 energy bill. So these guys are told, basically, if you want your exemption, if you want to have the government put a bunch of cash in your pocket, then you better put money in the pockets of Congressman Tom DeLay, Congressman Billy Towson, and Representative Joe Barton. And if you do that, then they will write into the energy bill money for you guys that, you know, and you invest a few thousand, you get back a million. Invest a million, you get back a billion. It's shameful, frankly, how cheaply these guys sell themselves. So they made the contributions. Westar executives, these two guys, David Whitten and David Lake, who have been indicted now for looting $32 million out of their company, they gave the bribes to DeLay, Towson, and Barton. And there has been no action on this. This administration has chosen not to pursue an investigation into this clear bribery attempt and bribery solicitation by Tom DeLay. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I ain't lived forever, but I've lived enough. And I've learned to be gentle, and I've learned to be tough. I found only two things that last till the end. One is your heroes, the other's your friends. Your heroes will help you find good in yourself. Your friends won't forsake you for somebody else. They'll both stand beside you through thick and through thin. And that's how it goes with heroes and friends.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS, for all things Macintosh, including gift items. And also the Organic Wine Company. The Organic Wine Company has some, they have organic champagne. They have, actually, one of my favorites is they have an organic low-alcohol wine. It's like 3-2 beer, you know. I mean, it's half of 1%. It's very, very low alcohol, and it's and it tastes great. It's very good stuff. So, you know, for those people who don't want to get into the alcohol end of it, but still like the taste of wine, they have a very, very fine, and it's an organically grown grapes in France. These make great gift items. They're number 1-888-1888 Eco Wine, E-C-O-W-I-N-E, and all of their products imported from France because Véronique and her brother Michel, who run the company, are from France, and some of the wines actually come from their family's vineyard, where in France you've got to have, the ground has to be organic for 25 years before you can call the product organic. It's really good stuff. The Supreme Court is going to review a lawsuit over the Cheney energy meetings. Today, the Supreme Court said it will settle a fight stemming from Vice President Dick Cheney's contacts with the energy industry. It's this extraordinarily secretive administration. So very often when you get back down around to what's going on, why the secrecy, it comes back to they're trying to cover up the tracks between their relationship with big corporations and big money for politics. And this is just another example of it. Hopefully this will see the light of day. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us.
You've been been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
The Stephens Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Four Iraqi policemen were injured when a car bomb went off outside a police station in Baghdad Monday, the U.S. military and Iraqi police said. The attack occurred just after 8 a.m. when a suicide bomber drove his car into the gate of a police station in the capital's Amariya district, said Captain Brad Loudon. Witnesses said the building houses the police force's Bureau of Criminal Investigations. The attack was carried off the day after the capture of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. Cornered alone in a cramped hole near one of his sumptuous palaces, a weary, disheveled Saddam Hussein was seized by U.S. troops and displayed on television screens worldwide Sunday, a humiliating fate for one of history's most brutal dictators. The man who waged and lost two wars against the United States and its allies was armed with a pistol when captured in a styrofoam-covered underground hideout, but did not resist, the U.S. military said. In the broadcast images, he resembled a desperate fugitive, an all-powerful president who had ordered his army to fight to the death. Former Senator Paul Simon was honored Sunday in a memorial service filled with dignitaries who paid tribute to the popular low-key senator as a tireless advocate for the oppressed. Simon's plain casket, topped by the artwork of his grandchildren, rested in front of a stage at Southern Illinois University's sports arena, where more than 3,500 people attended a service that included a 60-piece orchestra. Mourners at the service included Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, former Wyoming Senator Alan Simpson, Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley, and former U.S. Labor Secretary Lynn Martin. When retired General Wesley Clark appears at Slobodan Milosevic's war crimes trial, it will not only be a meeting of wartime foes, but also of two candidates vying for power in elections at home. Clark was taking a hiatus from his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination to testify on Monday and Tuesday in closed sessions of the Yugoslav War Crimes Tribunal at The Hague. Speaking as U.S. authorities announced the capture of deposed Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, Clark said, "It's very important that international law is followed and that leaders who violate international law are held accountable." More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
Joe Horn really did phone it in Sunday night. The New Orleans receiver couldn't wait to talk about his touchdown, so he pulled out a cell phone and made a call from the end zone. After his second touchdown against the New York Giants, Horn was handed a phone that was planted under the padding used to protect the goalpost. The NFL had no immediate comment. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Even in this age of rampant materialism, when some consider you inferior if your SUV is not as big as theirs, and even when the president has proclaimed shopping to be a matter of patriotic duty, I found this particular magazine ad to be both offensive and absurd. Shop, it instructed. You're good at it. Excuse me? Is our society so vacuous? Is our worthiness as citizens and human beings so diminished that we should now judge ourselves by shopping skills? Now, I certainly respect those people of modest incomes who have to work the system every day just to make ends meet, those with savvy survival skills who stalk sales, use coupons, go to farmers markets, buy secondhand goods, and otherwise stretch their meager dollars and coins to cover the rent, food, utilities, and other basics in life. But this was no ad for the downscale, but for the decidedly upscale, pitched to those who have idle hours and ample funds or credit to pamper themselves with luxury in excess, implying that buying stuff is some sort of high virtue in its own right. That's why I support the spirit of Buy Nothing Day, which comes the day after Thanksgiving, when corporate world kicks off the spending splurge of the holidays. Sponsored by a group called Adbusters, Buy Nothing Day tries to reestablish a sense of human worthiness beyond consumerism. The group urges us to truly embrace the spirit of the season by making our own gifts, doing something for the community, exchanging personal favors, and otherwise connecting in non-commercial ways. It prizes human creativity over cash. This is Jim Hightower saying, unsurprisingly, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC refuse to allow Adbusters to purchase airtime for its Buy Nothing Day ads. But you can connect with their rebellious spirit on your own through www.adbusters.org.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you know. I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And we... interesting stuff in the news. I want to get into the economy. I wanted to... somebody in our chat room, by the way, go to TomHartman.com on the Internet. Just click the link to the chat room, and it drops you into a forum on CompuServe. Click the chat button, and boom, you're in there. We're in room number 3. And somebody had asked, why didn't they just kill Saddam like they did his sons? Well, number one, apparently his sons fought back, but, you know, assuming that there's no malicious intent. But just as 3 weeks ago, when that congressman had told the world that we knew where Saddam was and we were going to pull him out of the hat when the appropriate time came. Now, just as the administration is embroiled in scandal, we pulled him out. I predict, and I predicted 3 weeks ago, that within the next month we would be pulling Saddam out of the hat when things started getting really hot for Bush and company. And sure enough, I predict now, and we'll see what happens, that Come September, October, November of next year, just in time for the elections, you're going to see the trial of Saddam Hussein happening. And it will be a closed trial in that we will not be able to hear what he has to say about his relationship with the former Bush administration or April Gillespie telling him that he could go and attack Kuwait or his dealings with the Reagan administration. They're selling him germs and gas and the helicopters that he used to gas the Kurds and then continuing to. None of that stuff will come out. But all the evils of his rule and his reign, and certainly there is no shortage of them, will be repeated over and over and over again in the media to throughout the fall of this coming year, so that any candidate who is trying to position himself against Bush as the anti-war in Iraq candidate is going to look like a complete idiot for being opposed to taking down this evil, evil man. And that my prediction for the day. Anyhow, the AFL-CIO... Just issued a news release. Actually, it was last month it went out, but it was it's getting, you know, it's worthy of recirculation here. And I quote from the news release, holiday shoppers have a new way to support good jobs as well as please family and friends, AFL-CIO President John Sweeney said today in announcing AFL-CIO support for Buy Union Week, which was November 27th through December 7th, which is, you know, last week, week before. Shoppers can take the sweatshop out of holiday shopping, he said, and give the gift of good jobs, the gift our country needs most of all. And interestingly, as a tip here, the AP just reported, and this is today, and I quote, the number of Americans filing first-time claims for jobless benefits rose unexpectedly last week. So, you know, let's help by buying America and, even more importantly, buying union. The unions are the one thing that stands between us and absolute corporate tyranny. And in that context, to tell us about the global No Sweat campaign is Adam Neiman, who is the founder of NoSweatShop.com. Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
It's a pleasure to be here, Tom. How are you?
I am great. How about you, Adam?
Oh, a little bit of a chest cold, but outside of that, I'm not so bad.
Okay. Tell us about NoSweatShop.com.
Well, what we were trying to do here, and I think we succeeded, is give individual consumers a real choice in the marketplace so that we can create a constructive solution to the problem of sweatshops. Sweatshops, we dealt with this issue in the United States, almost 100 years ago, and... Unions were a key part of that solution.
Yeah. And are you still there?
I am.
Ah, okay. And so NoSweatShops.com is basically, you know, my going into the website and poking around, it looks to me like it's sort of like a shopping mall. You have a bunch of different manufacturers there offering all union-made products. Is that right?
That's correct. We have blue jeans. We have... fleece, we've got yoga pants, we've got button-down Oxfords. What we need, though, is about 5,000 customers. We have investors that are interested, the union pension funds are interested, but what they want to see is if, in fact, consumers will make the ethical choice. We've basically given consumers the same choice that the corporations have. Do you pay a fair price, or do you pay the absolute cheapest price? We've got this product. It's excellent quality, and it's competitive every bit with anything you'd find in any shopping mall in America, price-wise. It's not as cheap as Target. It's not as cheap as Walmart. But on the other hand, these clothes won't fall apart the second time you wash them.
Yeah, it looked to me like you have some excellent products there. How do you determine what is a no sweatshop product versus what isn't?
Well, the key element here is the union contract. If you don't
have... Yep. I think we've lost Adam. And apparently the key element is the union contract. And we'll try and get him back on just to finish that thought anyway. Robert Frank, who's an economics professor. Am I still on? Yeah, I still am.
He's there.
Okay. I guess you're back, Adam.
I am.
Okay, you were saying the key is the union contract.
The key is the union contract. Without a union contract, a worker can't even file a grievance without fear of losing their livelihood. With the union contract, you have specific benefits. You can actually look at it. You're not dependent on management telling you that the job is good. The workers can tell you what their conditions are.
Right. Excuse me. Now, What about are the products that are for sale at nosweatshops.com, nosweatshop.com, international unions or just U.S. unions?
We also have a product from Canada. We've found some good product from there. And my company, at least, is interested in supporting some of the new union shops that have opened up, and they fought very hard to get their union contracts in the developing world. We believe that the best way to defend a worker's job anywhere is to defend workers' rights everywhere. And there are two reasons why jobs go overseas. And they're both closely related. One of those reasons, of course, is that the wages are low. The other reason is that the workers have no unions. And
right.
We think that if union workers here in the developing world and progressive consumers here in the developing world help build up these labor movements in the developing world, we can actually stop the loss of jobs at the source. And one of the problems with merely looking for made in America product, well, an awful lot of made in America product is actually made in islands in the Pacific, in Taipan and places like that, by migrant labor, working in sweatshop conditions, way below U.S. minimum wage, without overtime pay, without protection.
Well, how do they put a Made in America label on it, then?
Well, they're American protectorates.
Oh, I see.
And that's how they get away with it.
Yeah.
So Made in America really does not tell a consumer an awful lot about a product, whereas Union Made tells you exactly what's going on.
Yeah. We had Ben Cohen on this program a few months ago. He was talking about SweatX. Is that the company that he started?
No. SweatX is another company. How would I put it? A friendly competitor at this point. They're also on the mall, and we're hopeful that they will make it. It's a good shop. It's out in Los Angeles, and they're producing good jobs and good product. The problem is that they're having trouble finding consumers who will buy this product. What we found is that we can offer a competitive product, we can pay a living wage, but in the early stages, we can't afford to advertise. And the question is, will American consumers seek this out and tell their friends and their neighbors and their colleagues about this product so that these companies can succeed and thrive?
Right, and the product being the products that are for sale at nosweatshop.com.
1-800-TALK-YES
is our number. We're talking with Adam Neiman, the founder of nosweatshop.com. Gary in Colorado's on the line. Hey, Gary, welcome to the program. Your thoughts
or
question for Adam?
Afternoon or whatever.
Hi,
yeah.
Gary, how are you?
Pretty good. I've been looking at your website here last few minutes, and I was real hopeful I could find some interesting things on there. I see a lot of music and stuff like that, but I don't see much clothing, per se.
Are you in the mall, or are you at the musician site? Are you at nosweatshop.com?
I went to nosweatshops.com, and I'm probably at the musician site. I'll dig into that a little later, but I'd like to ask you a couple questions.
Absolutely.
You were saying that you were having a hard time finding customers to buy this stuff. I'm in the opposite situation. I sell political novelties and T-shirts and caps on the Internet, and my customers are constantly beating me up to get more American-made stuff. And I've been trying to find vendors, and I've been finding some vendors, some people that make the stuff here in the country, and adding more and more. But I'd like to be able to find a lot.